We're in a series called The Power of Prayer. And today we're talking about finding life with God in prayer. And one of the things that I want to talk to you about and what we're going to focus our time on today is something that might be very simple for some of you. It might be something that you're very familiar with, or it might be something that's a little scary for you and something that you don't have a lot of experience or familiarity with. And that is just having a regular devotional life. Having a time where you step back from your day and have focused time with you and the Lord. And we were talking in our small group on Friday night about how sometimes time is tight, right? You've got your challenges of your job, your kids, trying to get them off to school or get them ready, or maybe you've got a parent or someone who needs your attention, whatever the case may be. And it's just difficult to step back and say, I'm going to take this focus time. And there are times when God is inviting us, absolutely, to shoot off that quick prayer. And we talked about Nehemiah. We talked about how when he was before the king Artaxerxes, this is back in the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, they're trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And he's working for the king, and the king says, you look sad. What do you want? You know, what's troubling you? He said, well, my city lies in ruins, and here I am serving you. He says, well, what do you want? And it says, Nehemiah prayed, and then he answered the king. You know, he didn't go off to his room and get down on his knees and pray. He just said, you know, Lord, help me or something. He just quick thing. And then he answers the king, right? And sometimes that's all you have. Maybe it's on your ride to work. Maybe you're on the train. Maybe you have, I mean, I don't mean to be crude or anything, but maybe you're, you know, a stay-at-home mom. The only free time you have is in the bathroom. You know, whatever you have, that's what you have. You use it. But God is also inviting us into a deep relationship type prayer. And the analogy I gave on Friday, which I'll use again, is the other day I was leaving the house and I hadn't really had a chance to talk to Sonia yet because she hadn't slept well, so she slept in and it's time for me to go to work. So I just stopped in and I said, hey, just checking to make sure we don't need to talk about anything or before I go and I say goodbye. Now, by the way, I don't always do this, so I'm just giving you the positive example. There's plenty of other examples of when I don't do it. But she said, no, we're good, and then I went to work. And that was good. That's what we needed in that moment. But we can't build a relationship on that, right? And as Christians, we can't have a relationship with God based on the quick ones. The quick ones, the quick prayers, those little shots that go up, they're made possible because of a prayer life. And if you look in Nehemiah, the first chapter of Nehemiah is this long prayer. You know, so he's got this prayer life, and then in the midst of a moment, he can reach out to God and pray. And so that's what we want to talk about today, building that prayer life. And I was talking to Beth before the service because we always talk about what music we're going to do and how it relates to the sermon. And I told her what we were doing. She said, oh, we're going to do a lab. So today's going to be a lab. We're actually going to practice this. We're going to do it. And so if this is new to you, great. If it's old hat, it's still going to be good, I think. And we are using as a resource the Eric Little book, which can you grab for me? It's in my outside pocket. And Jeff, or Rich, hello, can you turn this down just a little bit? She's handing me my novel, which I also keep in my bag, but it's not what we're doing today. If you haven't gotten one of these, this is a strong recommendation for you to pick up the Disciplines of the Christian Life by Eric Little. Before we jump into this, because it's relevant, I just want to give you a little reminder of who Eric Little is. This is the guy that the movie Chariots of Fire is about. He was an Olympic champion back in the early 1900s. He was Scottish, so he ran for Great Britain in the Olympics. And if you know the story, he was one of the fastest runners, you know, obviously in the world, but he was just breaking record in short distance running, 100 meters, 200 meters. But there was a heat, which is a qualifying run for his race on a Sunday. And as a good Scottish Presbyterian, he refused to do anything on a Sunday. He wouldn't even just playfully kick a soccer ball around. He just didn't do anything on it. That was his Sabbath. So by his convictions, he chose not to compete. Well, Great Britain's out of their star runners, so what do? Well, they decide, let's put them in the longer race, right? Let's put them in the 400. And everyone thinks there's no way that this speed demon can do anything in a 400, a long-distance race. But of course, if you see the movie, you know he does an incredible job. He actually beats everyone else in the field. These guys that he was competing against were just recognized as phenoms in the track world. And he beats them all, breaks a record. World record lasted, I think his world record lasted for about 20 years, which is very unusual in track and field, if you keep up with that kind of thing. Then he gave up fame and fortune and became a missionary in China. And then World War II breaks out. Japan invades China. They take all of the Western, all the internationals, the businessmen, the missionaries, everyone, and they put them in this internment camp. And that's where he lives the rest of his life, because he dies before the war ends. He wrote this while he was in captivity. He wrote about having joy. He wrote about trusting God. He wrote about giving your life to him while he was in an internment camp, because he served as a missionary in China. Even though everyone told him, you can do more for the Lord by running and kind of being this famous person, he said, no, I'm going to serve in China. And that's what he did. It's where he was born, by the way, so his heart was there. It's just a little background, because I want you to understand, when you read the things that he writes in here, where he's coming from. He's not writing from a comfortable office as a teacher in a university or a pastor writing in his study. He's writing as a guy who's lived it, who's out there doing the hard work and paying the price for it to the point of death. When he died, he died of a brain tumor, and because there were no doctors in the camp, he didn't know he had a brain tumor. And the saddest part of his story for me, I mean, all these horrible things happened to him. He's away from his wife and kids, who thankfully were safe in Canada. But when he's dying, his faith starts to falter, and he feels horrible about it. And it turns out it was just the effects of his brain tumor, but he didn't even know he had it. But glory to God, when he passed, God told him, hey, this is what happened, right? The story doesn't end there. The story ends, he's still living his story. And so he knows, so I don't feel too bad. But I almost cried when I got to that part of his life. I mean, it was just really heart-wrenching. But everyone described him as positive, a joy to be around, an encouragement, and a man of God in every situation he was ever in. It's just incredible. So he's one of my heroes. But beyond that, this book is amazing. How many of you have started with this? Has it changed your concept and practice of prayer at all? Anyone? Yeah, yeah. It's really something. So today we're going to follow his model with one little caveat. Basically, what I'm sharing with you, this is what I do when I sit down to pray, when I have my devotional time, when I'm stepping back and saying, okay, this is my prayer time. I am not trying to tell you that this is how you have to do it. I'm saying this is a model which you can adopt. You can, if you've got something that's working for you, you can reject it. If this is something you want to adapt and take pieces of, you can do that. There's nothing magical about this. But what I don't want to have happen is this. I don't want to talk from here, from the pulpit, for 6 weeks about prayer and never really show you how to do it. Because I think that would be a shame. Because I know as a pastor, it was years before anyone really showed me, this is how you have a prayer life with God. This is how you have a devotional life with God. And I don't want that to happen to you. So, finding life with God in prayer. That's what this is about, connecting with him. So one of the things that we want to do first is we want to get our heart in a place where we're ready to both engage with, meaning talk to, and receive from God. We want to be able to both speak to him and hear from him. And when we go to God, one of the things that we want to do is go with a sense of honesty and transparency and trust that's hard for us. See, as we go through life, we experience these challenges, and then we kind of put walls up, right? You know, you think of the last time you had a friend turn their back on you and maybe abandon you, and then it was really hard to trust other friends after that point, wasn't it? It's hard to make new friends when you've been hurt that way. Or if your parent was the kind, like, you know, I know so many people whose fathers were bad fathers, and then when they pray, God, my father, you know, it's hard for them because they've got this connection with fathers that's not positive. Or, you know, just whatever it is in your life that puts up walls. And one of the ways that we take those walls down, not with other people, but just with ourselves, is to go back to the kind of the natural, I say the it doesn't feel natural, but the natural state that God made us to be in. And what you want to think of is Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, it talks about in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve were in the garden and the Lord walked with them. It's before they've sinned. No shame, no guilt, right? What would you experience if you didn't have anything to be regretful for? If you didn't have anything to be ashamed of? God shows up in your garden, you know, beautiful garden, and you just walk with him. What would you feel? And like, I would love to hear. What do you think you'd feel in that moment?
Love,
freedom. So,
yeah,
at peace, comfortable. What else?
Joy.
Right. This is our natural state. This is what life is supposed to be like with God, but sin gets in the way. So it's not our normal state, right? But it is our natural state. And so one of the ways that we get back to joy and back to peace and back to comfort and back to freedom is through appreciation. So we're going to start, go ahead and grab your sheet. And we're going to, this is what I do. You don't have to do this, but I start every devotional time with an appreciation story. So if you have a pen and you're willing to go on a little journey with me, pull this out. This is not, you know, again, there's nothing, this isn't from the Bible per se, but it's biblical. It's not contrary to Scripture and it's based on principles of Scripture. But it's not certain verse and, you know, chapter and verse that this comes from. So it's not holy. You know, it could be adapted for your use. But this is what I do. So what I want you to do right now, if you would, is close your eyes. And just, I'm gonna invite you to just try something. So if this is, feels weird, just try it. I promise you I will not lead you anywhere crazy. Okay? All right, and just ask the Lord, Lord, will you remind me of a time that I experienced great joy with you? Where I experience your presence, a touch, a word, just a sense of your love. It could be with other people or it could be alone. Just, Lord, remind me of a time I experienced great joy with you. When you come up with something, start writing in box one the situation where you experienced joy. By the way, if you don't get anything, that's okay. If you can't think of an experience where you felt joy with God, just think of the last experience where you felt joy at all. And then start to write down the situation in box one. Okay, if you're still writing, keep writing. But is there anyone who has written, one person who would like to share? You don't have to, but is there anyone who would like to share? Just, you know, I'm talking 20 seconds. What is your, what's the situation you described? Francis. When you got saved. Okay, so describe the situation in just a short couple of sentences.
Growing up in a Catholic, I loved Christianity.
amazing. That's amazing. That's a great story. So in case you didn't catch it all, I'll hand the mic out next time. He grew up in the Catholic Church, but there was a moment where he came to a greater understanding, fullness of truth of what the gospel is, and he began to experience what it felt like and what it was to be a real Christian. Is that fair? Good. And then it was like a eureka moment, and he felt joy and peace, and then he went and he shared it with his friends, including his Muslim friend, and they all kind of came to Christ and came to the Lord and following Jesus as his disciples. So what a great story. Mine, just to share, was today. So I don't know what you guys were feeling out there, but up here I was just feeling this thick, strong presence of God as we worship. And sometimes, I don't know if you, maybe you can tell, but sometimes this that we do up here is a struggle. Sometimes it's like, oh, I gotta, like, and we're trying to make everything fit and not be horrible. It's like a train wreck that we're trying to prevent. And sometimes it's like nothing. It's like we're not even here. I don't know what you were feeling, but I was feeling that today, like, oh, this is just easy and it's great. And it almost felt like there were sounds that I could hear that we couldn't have even been making ourselves. And it's almost like hearing voices from heaven. And you know, we have these things in our ears, and you know, what we hear might actually be better than what you hear. But I just felt carried along by the Holy Spirit, this heavenly moment, the presence of God. And when I get like that, it reminds me of times when I would just worship with God with some friends in a back room or in a, you know, an old chapel somewhere or outside in a park. We used to do that when I was in high school and college. And it just felt like that. It was just easy and natural and good, and God was there. So now what I want you to do, does everyone have some moment of joy that you've written down on? Okay. So what I want you to do now is write, how did you feel in this story? And we're talking about emotions. For some of you, this will be easy. For some of you, this will be the hardest one. Write down your emotions. And by all means, write down happy, right? You know, but try to dig deeper and say, you know, maybe I was feeling exhilarated, right? So try to think, like, use your vocabulary here, your emotional vocabulary, to develop some emotional IQ increases here. You know, maybe in the story there were aspects of it that were scary, so you felt fear. Or maybe in the story part of it you felt shame and then part of it you felt relief. Maybe in the story you felt overwhelmed, or maybe you felt deep calm, so you felt comforted, felt peaceful. So write down your feelings for that story, and I'm going to do the same. Now, when I started doing this, this one was hard for me. I have always had a hard time verbalizing and connecting deeply emotionally to myself, right? Because, you know, I kind of grew up in a family where we didn't display a lot of emotions. And so it wasn't something that was very common. We didn't talk about our emotions very much. And so for me, this has been a really difficult part of this, but it's been a growing part, you know, one that grows me and builds me. It actually helps me to connect with God in ways that I couldn't before, because I didn't have vocabulary or language or that even the desire to do it. So now what I'm doing is I'm you know, intentionally stretching myself to do this. I find that a lot of these moments for me create little paradoxes. Like I said, maybe you felt shame, but then you felt relief, or maybe you felt afraid, but at peace. So I do a lot of oxymorons. So like I wrote, I felt an exhilarated calmness. Right? It's okay to cheat. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. You know, just whatever the feeling is that was there, try to put it down into words. You know, so today I felt an exhilarated calmness. Like I was enthused and excited, but I was also at peace with what God was doing. I felt well cared for. That's not an emotion per se, but that's, I was feeling that in that moment that I could just trust God, that he had it, that I didn't have to manufacture anything. I didn't have to work hard for anything this morning. And so I put the word trust. I felt trusting, right? And then I put peaceful. So maybe, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to share some of the words. Yasmin. That's amazing. Yeah, and that's great. And to be able to verbalize that, it's really good. So next, this one's a little weird. I wanted you to write down how your body was feeling in the moment that you experienced this. Because the reality is our brain stores memories in clumps. So you know the psychology of this. You've probably seen, you know, like sometimes a certain smell will bring out a fear in somebody, because they've attached a certain scent with a moment where they were afraid, and the brain like melds these things together. It's the same with joy. So anything that you smelled, anything that you felt, like today I would describe my arms moving, and I was whatever, I don't know how you describe, maybe a boxer stance. That's what I think I was doing over here, and I think I was smiling, and of course I was filling my lungs and pushing out air. And just write all that down. Write down physically what was happening. Because this, what you're doing is you're kind of like connecting the dots between the different parts of your memory, and you're making this one memory. And we're going to explain why that's important in a minute. So write down what you physically were doing. What did your body do? What sensations did you feel? Where were you physically? And then what did you do? What actions did you take? This is number four. What responses did you have? Now, here's a thing quickly on this also. Sometimes in a particular moment, you respond in a way that you wish you hadn't responded. Right? So if you responded one way, but you wished you had responded the other way, write down the way you responded, but then also write down the way you wished you had responded. Because again, the brain is funny. When you think about something, and when you remember it, and you run that tape in your head, to your brain, it's like it's happening again. This is why this works, because you're actually replaying this joy memory, and so you're going to a place of joy in your whole body, in your whole person, your mind, by replaying this tape. Now, if you didn't do what you wanted to do, what you wish you had done, what maybe wasn't your true self. So maybe you had inhibitions, and so what you wanted to do was jump up and shout, but what you did was you said, oh, that's nice. Right? Anyone been there? I have. You know, my body wants to scream, but my social inhibitions say, you know, be the good boy. You know, don't draw too much attention to yourself. Don't make anyone feel weird. Write down what you wished you had done. Because then when you think about what you wish you had done, it's almost like in your brain you had done it. Have you ever had one of those times where you've told yourself a story so many times that you actually think it went the way you remember it instead of the way it actually went? That's you reprogramming your brain, because you're actually experiencing that over and over and over a certain way, and you actually forget that's not what happened. Now, here's where we're getting a little interesting. We're going to ask God a question. Now, a word about this. When you ask God a question, we believe that God speaks when we listen, right? When you ask God a question, you have to keep a couple of things in mind. Number one, God will not say anything to you that's contrary to Scripture. So if God says something, you know, like Myra's broken record, if God says to you, "You're an idiot. Why didn't you just jump up and scream and shout? What's wrong with you?" That's not God, okay? If God says to you, "You know what you should have done is pulled out a gun and shot everyone else there," like, that's not God. That's an obvious one, right? Right? So if God's voice isn't like the voice of Jesus, isn't like the voice of God in Scripture, then you've missed it. And so you put that away and you ask again. Here's the other thing. God's voice doesn't necessarily sound different from yours in this sense. That God, you know, very few people like hear an audible voice from God. What we get are impressions. And what we're trying to do is actually be led by the Holy Spirit. We're actually trying to be led by God. And God works through our natural processes. And sometimes what you hear is just your imagination. But I ask you, who gave you your imagination? So can God work through your imagination? Yeah. So here's the thing. If you hear something that sounds like God of Scripture, or if it's a quote from Scripture, it doesn't matter if it was your imagination, because you're quoting Scripture or it's biblical. So if what you hear is God says, "I love you, my son, I love you, my daughter," don't say, "Well, maybe that was just my imagination." Because who cares? Does God love his son and his daughter? Absolutely. So receive it. Accept it. So we're going to take a moment. You're going to ask God, "How did you feel about me in this moment?" Or, "How did you feel about this moment?" And then take some time to listen. Just be quiet and listen. See if you get anything. If you do, write it down. If you don't, we'll talk about that in a minute. All right, if you didn't feel like you got anything, like you didn't hear anything, no impressions, nothing, then what I want you to do is simply this. Take the knowledge that you do have of God and just imagine, what might God say to me about this? Or what might God feel about me in this moment, given what I know about God? Okay? So if nothing comes, you do that. And again, what we're trying to do is, we're right now, this process, is what we're trying to do is actually just get our heart in a sensitive place. It's not about having some great deep revelation, although that can happen. But just get your heart in a sensitive place. We're just trying to kind of get God's perspective on us, right? This is biblical. David in Psalm 139, he says, "Lord, search me and know me. Reveal if there's anything, you know, that's out of line or out of step, anything you don't like, Lord, reveal it to me." He's saying, "God, give me your perspective." And he's trusting that God will do it, right? Sometimes just the process of asking gets us to think in a new way, and that's God. That's not, you know, everything doesn't have to be a miracle, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but hopefully it makes sense. And then number six, is there anything you want me to know? So, you know, I'm talking about this worship time. How do you feel about me? I wrote, God, like God saying to me, this is real worship, giving yourself to me. I'd like to see this every week. You know, that's a little thing. But this, God, is there anything you want me to know about this? I have found the two most common things that I hear and get in these in this last box is either an encouragement or a correction. You might have something, you might have a totally different experience. My experience is that I usually get an encouragement or a correction. But that's not a hard and fast rule. But when God wants us to know something, you know, that it's usually because he wants us to either be encouraged to keep doing something good or to stop doing something, you know, we'll say bad, but something that's not the best, right? And so, again, this could be my mind speaking, but I believe it's biblically true, so I'm going to share it. The biggest hindrance to worship is the unnecessary things you bring to it. That's God speaking to me. The biggest hindrance to worship is the unnecessary things I bring to it. So that causes me to reflect and start to evaluate what are the unnecessary things that I can bring to worship that actually hinder my worship, right? Because I believe, you know, I wasn't thinking of this ahead of time. It just like kind of just popped into my head. I evaluate it and then I write it down. Now, I was doing one of these the other day, and I was doing it with a partner, and he said, "What did you hear?" And I said, "I heard something that was ridiculous. It can't be God, so I'm going to do a do-over," right? I heard something that couldn't be God, so it's like, all right, God, you're going to have to do this again because that doesn't make sense. And then this never happens for me. Like, my brain is like, you know, this is my brain, right? It never happens that I don't think or hear or somehow feel something. Right? I'm always thinking about something. My brain was totally blank. It's like, okay, I guess I need to reevaluate the first one just in case. Maybe I misunderstood. And then I reevaluated the first one. And here's the thing. We were talking about planning something. Talking about creating this document to plan for an event that's coming up. And I had an image of God like scribbling on a document. And I'm thinking, well, that's not how God does things. God doesn't scribble on a document. He doesn't need to kind of figure things out. So God, redo, do over. What are you really doing right now? What are you really thinking right now? And then blank, nothing. So then I reevaluated. I said, maybe what God is saying is he's already got the plan figured out. But maybe that was my imagination. So what did I do? I put God scribbling on a piece of paper. Maybe it means he's got things figured out, ? I don't know. So it's there. I remember it, but I move on. I don't dwell on it. I don't worry about it. I'm not going to hell if I thought God was writing on a piece of paper and he really wasn't. You know what I mean? So I want like just relax a little bit into this. And just now, here's the thing. Pick a title so that you can remember it. And then there's a bonus. And here's what I really, 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 really want you to do. When you go home today, share this story with someone. All right? If you can't physically tell it to them, write it down and send them a note. Now, give a little context. I made the mistake. I texted my wife a picture of one of these the other day. And I just texted her the picture. And then last night, she's like, "Why did you text me that picture?" I'm like, "I wanted to share it with you." Well, just say so. Like, you know, give it a little context. So do more than just share the picture, but share it with someone. Try to keep it to under 3 minutes. Tell it like you tell a good story. You know, I was in the presence of God during worship, and we were worshiping, and I was like hearing heavenly voices, and it was like I didn't have to work. It just happened. And God was there, the Holy Spirit was there, and I felt exhilarated but calm at the same time. Like I could just trust God and he cared for me and all I had to do was kind of release myself into the moment. And my body was, exhilarated too because I was playing and singing and filling up my lungs and making noise and moving around. And I was smiling and I was looking out at the congregation and they were worshiping and the kids were over here and I was so excited about it. And then God was saying, this is worship. Just give yourself up to me. I'd love to see this every week. And then he told me, Stephen, the biggest hindrance to worship is the unnecessary things that you bring to it. Now, if someone told you that story, would you get a little excited? Would you feel, I did it super quick. That wasn't even 3 minutes. Would you feel like maybe you were almost there? Would you feel some joy from it? Like, oh. And then you think, oh, I remember when I experienced the presence of God in worship. Or whatever. And so you do that, and here's what happens. I've talked about this before, but again, brain scans show that when you tell a story, the way your brain's moving in the brain scan, people listening to the story, their brain scans start to match your brain scan. When mothers look into the eyes of their infant, the infant's brain scan starts to match the mother's brain scan. Human beings have this incredible ability to kind of like imprint our brains on one another. And this can be used for really good, or it can be used for great evil. But we want to use it for good. And so we're saying, God, I want to take the joy I'm feeling, and I want to put that joy in someone else. Right? And as we experience joy, this is just a reality of life. When you experience joy, the other things start to fall away. You actually cannot be joyful and afraid at the exact same time. You can be in joy, you can move to fear, and then if you're healthy, you can move right back to joy. Or you can go from joy to anger, and if you're healthy, you can go right back to joy. But you can't exist, they can't both exist at the same time. So as you're experiencing this joy that comes from gratitude and appreciation and remembering what God has done in your life. By the way, sometimes my story is about just hanging out with my kids and the joy I feel with them. But today I wanted to do a moment with God. But sometimes it's a date that you have. Sometimes it's the one from Wednesday of this week that I was doing with someone else was remembering when I was a kid riding down a hill on a bicycle as fast as I could go with the wind in my face and feeling every bump in the road and like holding on for dear life but feeling alive and feeling this is amazing and I could die at any moment, but I love it. Are you starting to feel it? I've hardly told the story and you're starting to feel it. You can't feel that way and have your walls up at the same time. So you do appreciation. This is a biblical thing. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious, but with gratitude and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace that transcends all understanding, I'm mangling the verse, but you understand what I'm getting at, that God will give you the peace that transcends all understanding, right? The peace of God. Gratitude is the key to joy. But once you're in a place of joy, now you're open to the Lord. So turn your page over. We are running out of time so fast, which breaks my heart because I love what we're doing. But we're going to do this quickly. Now here's, and this is good. You can do this devotional time in 15 minutes, or you can do it in 2 hours, or anything in between. This does not require you to quit your job, okay? You could do it in 15 minutes. But what I have found is doing it 15 minutes makes me want to do it 30 minutes. And I've never felt that way about devotional prayer life before in my life. And doing it 30 minutes makes me want to do it in an hour. And doing it in an hour makes me want to do it 2 hours. And, what I do is I come to our prayer room, and Beth's just waiting for me to get to work. And I'm in the prayer room, and she's, you're hoping I will come back. And I don't want to come back. I want to stay here. But I go back. But God goes with me, so it's good. So now you're in a place of joy. This is important. It really helps to be in a place of joy. And you ask God, have I surrendered to you, Lord? The biggest benefit, the biggest change that comes from prayer is that it brings you to a place of surrender. Because what you're ultimately saying when you pray is you're saying this, God, I cannot handle this thing, but you can. That is what prayer says. And God already knows it. You're the one that needs to hear it. So when you pray, you're telling yourself, I can't handle this, but God can. that's surrender. But we want to go to a place of deep surrender. So don't move on until you can honestly pray this prayer. If you can pray this, go ahead and pray it with me now. I put the prayers are in italics. I didn't always put a prayer there, but this is just a model. You know, do with this what you will. So this is something like what I pray in the morning. And you can pray with me if you're ready. Lord, I have surrendered this day to you. I will follow your Holy Spirit's leadership today. I will do what he asks and go where he leads as he reveals it to me. Help me, Lord, to fulfill this vow. And you ignore the typo there, and you pray the prayer, and you're saying, God, you're in charge and I'm not. What you're saying is, God, you are God, you are the creator, and I am the created. You are God, and I am the image bearer. Right? You're in charge. Not me. Right? How freeing is that? And then here's what I do. I get still. And there's a lot of ways you can do this. But I just begin to recognize God's presence. This is the God who created the universe. The God of all truth. The God of all love. He's with you right now. And I thank him for his presence. I thank him that he speaks when I listen, and he listens when I pray. And I pray something like this. I say, Lord, reveal to me your presence today. Show me where you are and what you're doing. And then I sit. Now again, your imagination starts to kick in. Myra was saying, I saw a record and it was skipping, right? God is using the gift of her imagination, which does not in any way suggest that it's not from God. He's using what she can see in her mind, right? Because God gave her that gift, and he's utilizing the gift he gave her to show her something. Other people, you don't see pictures, you hear things, right? Sometimes it's very different. I've shared one similar to this, but again this week I was in there praying and I said, God, show me where you are and what you're doing. And I just got an image of God walking around here praying, because God intercedes for us. He prays for us. He's praying for a church. And then he walked out the door and he started walking down and praying on the streets. It's like, he's praying for a church and he's praying for a community. God cares about you and he cares about those who are out there. That's huge, right? Now, is there anything unbiblical about that? Does God intercede for us? Does he love his church? Does he love the world? Yes. So I run with it. Great. Thank you, Lord. That's a gift. And if it was my imagination, I'm still grateful because it's true. If you get an image of God doing something that God doesn't do, that's not God. But if it is, just receive it as a gift. And then I say, thank you, Lord. And you can pray along with me. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to speak to me today. Help me listen to you. And thank you that you are listening as I pray. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in me to empower me, to lead me, and to work in me the fruit of his character and love. And then we can actually all pray this together out loud. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, this you may not like this. When I pray this on my own, I usually say, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And I say, give me today my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, for yours is the kingdom power. You can do that. You don't have to. If you pray plural, you're joining with all the other saints. But that's what I do. So we've been still. We recognize God's presence. I shared last week, Jenny shared a story of hearing from Beth's mom. Take a chair out and put it in front of you and just imagine Jesus is sitting in that chair. You know, what helps you recognize the presence of God in that moment? There are numerous different things you can do. Maybe you can read a verse from Scripture about God being present with you. God is my refuge and God is my strength and ever-present help in trouble. Right? Quote that. Recite it. Let it be a truth for you. So what we want to do is we want to not just conceptually believe that God is there, but that we know that he's here with me right now. It's one thing to say God is omnipotent and God is omnipresent. And it's another thing to say God is right here with me right now. You see the difference? Next, we're going to give thanks. Now, this can be a long time right here if it can be. But it says, be specific about what gifts God has given you. Remember your family, your friends, your church, lessons learned. Now, I love this one. Challenge of difficulties, written by the man in an internment camp who's dying of cancer. He thanks God for the challenge of difficulties and new opportunities and responsibilities. He didn't stop taking on new opportunities and responsibilities even though he was in this camp. And if you read his story, he's like putting on sporting events for the kids. He's sharing the gospel with people who don't know the Lord. He's serving people every single day. He's serving people. He's finding new ways to give and serve and love others. It's incredible. He thanks God for that, and especially for Jesus Christ and the freedom and forgiveness found in the gospel. And these gifts ask God to help you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. By the way, I meant to mention this, but this is an adaptation of pages 38 and 39 in this book. So if you're reading it, you already know it. But if you're not, it comes from here. So do that. Now here's what I do. I pray for my family, and then I thank God for the lessons learned in relation to my family, the opportunities and responsibilities in relation to my family, for the challenges and difficulties related to my family. And then I go to my friends and I do the same thing. And then I go to the church and I do the same thing. And then I'll go to my work and I'll do the same thing. And I'll go to, you know, whatever it is that's there. And I'll go through each of those categories with each of those areas. But you don't have to do that. You could do it, you know, it could be more general. But this is the time to pray for your spouse, pray for your kids, pray for your boss, pray for your coworkers, pray for the president, pray for the people who need prayer. Then this is one that I didn't used to do, but now it's one of my favorite parts. Accept Christ for today. So I have accepted Christ. I am, you'll be glad to know, a Christian as the pastor of this church. I love Jesus. I believe in the gospel. I believe in God's word. And yet every day I try to take a moment to accept Jesus for today. Accept his forgiveness in the gospel. Receive the promise of being made into his image. You know, and so I pray this, and you can pray again. I accept again today Jesus Christ, his forgiveness in the gospel, and the promise of being made into his image. Lord, make his qualities of love, honesty, purity, unselfishness, and the passion to do your will mine today. Give me the character of Jesus. Lord, I confess my sins from yesterday. Now, here's the thing. Get specific. You're in a place of joy. You don't have to have your walls up. You don't have to walk in shame. God already knows, but get specific. It's good for you and your heart to be honest about your failures. And then, here's the thing, you don't stay there. Because then you pray this, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Release me to live today and move on in your strength and freedom. It's from John 8. There is such an incredibly powerful reality to confessing your sins and then being released from them. Right? Nothing else in the world offers that kind of catharsis, and nothing in the world offers that kind of freedom because nothing else can. Right? Nothing else can. Then you're going to prepare your day. So in light of his love, God's love, and the world's needs, ask God what responsibilities he wants you to add to your plan for the day and what he wants you to remove. Jesus says, my burden is easy, right? My yoke is easy. My burden is light, right? So often, we're overburdened by things that God hasn't even asked us to do. we've taken on more than he wants us to take on. That's not his burden. That's not his yoke. That's your burden. That's your yoke. Or maybe it's the burden and yoke that others around you have placed on you. And Sonia and I were just talking last night. We live in an environment, a work environment, where, you know, 2008, half the world gets laid off. And all the companies make do with fewer people to do the same amount of work. And the economy rebounds. And what happened in a lot of places is they hire new people to start new work, but they still have the same few people doing the same old work, even though before it was two or three times, you know, or two or three more people doing the same work. You know what I'm talking about, right? So you work harder, you work longer, there's these things put on you, and you feel like, you know, you've got to be on all the time, right? If you get an email at 1 in the morning, well, you better respond by 1:15 kind of thing. And maybe God's saying, release that burden. That's scary, right? Because you don't want to lose your job. But God knows what kind of job you have, and God knows what kind of job you need. God knows what you can handle, and he knows what you can't. So don't do this as an excuse to get out of stuff. But ask God honestly, is there anything on my plan for the day that you want me to take off? And God, is there anything that's not on my plan that you want me to put in? Because the other side of this is, sometimes you can handle more than you think you can. And you think you're at your limit, but you're not. And God says, no, you've got more. You can do this. And often it's praying for someone, calling somebody. If you get a message, a text, an email, a phone call from me during the week, it's probably because I prayed and God told me to, God put you on my heart. Now, if you don't get an email or text from me, it's not that God doesn't care about you. I don't want you to feel like that. But sometimes I'm praying and it's like, call so-and-so, email such-and-such, reach out to, or just pray for it. And sometimes I pray for you, I don't even tell you. I'm always, you know, don't worry about it. Ask God for his plan. Take notes of what he wants. Have some paper around. What notes of what he wants you to do, people he wants you to reach out to or pray for, and then commit to fearlessly obey God's will. You've already said, I'm going to do what your Holy Spirit tells me to do. So you commit to fearlessly obey God's will, John 16. And then you go to the Word. What I had planned here is that we were going to open up the Scripture, and we were going to do a little devotional with Scripture, but we don't have a lot of time for that, but we were going to go to the Psalm. I have it written down here. Psalm 34. So I'm just going to turn there real quick. And I'm going to do a mock version of this for you, if you don't mind, just because of time. There we are. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 14. Let me read it. So here's what I do. First, I pray. It says, ask God what message he has for you in his word today. What does the Scripture show you about God? What does the Scripture show you about yourself? And what does it show you about the world? And what do you need to do in obedience to this passage? And that, then you read God's word. So you pray that God speak to you. So Psalm 34, 1 through 14. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, here's my, this is just me because I'm the person I am. I'm like, okay, what's the little heading say of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech and drove him away and he left? Okay, I got to turn to the passage where David pretended to be insane and I got to read that so I can get the background here. And then I want to pull out my commentaries and do some historical research and word studies. It's like, no, this is not the time for that. If you've read the story, you know this story of David where he pretended to be insane. David was going to be captured, and because he pretended to be insane, he got away. It's pretty funny, pretty cool, pretty smart. David was awesome. All right. So, but that he says this. And what I'm going to do in this moment is I'm not going to do all my study right now. I'm just going to say, yeah, what is here for me? And I'm struck by a couple of things. Now, you can be struck by something totally different. It's fine. But those who look on him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Oh, that's what I want. I want to never feel shame. When I look on the Lord, I won't feel shame. So it's a reminder to me to keep my attention, my focus on the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him. Oh, that speaks to me. Taste and see the Lord is good. It's like God's inviting me to test him a little bit. Check me out. See if I'm good or not. You'll see. You'll see how good I am, right? And, you know, and I would take time, and I would take my pen out, and I would underline those, and I would write in the margins little things that I'm thinking of. And I might take 5 minutes doing this, or I might take half an hour doing this, depending. This is a long passage. So I'm just going to take that time, write down some ideas, jot things down. I'm not trying to be too in-depth. I'm not being a scholar here. I'm just, what's touching my heart from the Word? Now, if you read a passage that you don't understand, it's hard to have a good spiritual reflection on it if you don't understand it. So you need to have some level of understanding, and that can be helpful. Study Bible has notes in the bottom. It's helpful. But then go right back to what it's there for. You're connecting with God. What do you see about God? What do you see about yourself? What do you see about the world? What do you need to obey? So what I see about God is he's good, he's faithful, that he's not afraid of being tested a little bit. What I see about myself is that probably the reason I have shame in my life is because I keep turning away from God and turning to other things. So if I change that, I won't experience the same shame. The world, what do I know about the world? I'm going to skip that one for now. What do I need to obey? Turn to God. That's it. And then I move on. And then I pray that, remember your duty to be a witness for God. This is the last one. Now again, we're talking about a guy who gave his life to be a witness for God. He gave up everything to witness for God. And then he's in an internment camp, and he's still witnessing for God. And he's even witnessing to his captors. This guy never gives up. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you're living as a Christian and you're living for yourself, you have missed it. He puts this last because this is the thing he wants us to go out with. He's like, when you're finished, this is what you should be. You've had your time with God. Now you have a responsibility to God for the world. So I pray, Lord, use me today to bear witness to you by my example and character in my home, at work, and in my free time. Make me ready to share your grace, mercy, and wisdom to those around me. Give me a message of your love and encouragement to share with another. Help me fulfill my prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give me a chance to share your gospel with someone today. How different would your day go if you pray this prayer every single morning right before you go out the door, or right before you start your work, or whatever, or maybe even before you get out of bed? If you do not have an outward focus, that all the wonderful spiritual stuff we do is to empower you to reach others, then you've missed it. I mean, if it's not for that, let's just go to heaven. Why stick around here? This world's pretty hard. Why deal with this? Let's go. No, you have a mission here. You have a purpose here. You have a duty here. And accept it with joy. Take joy in it. So we kind of ran through this, but if we had time, what I would have loved to have done is stop at each one and just give you time to pray. But you can take this home, and this can be a model for you. Now here's what I do warn you about. If you do this every day for a week, you might start to feel a little bored with it. You might not. I did. But I kept going, and by the end of the second week, I didn't feel bored with it anymore. All of a sudden, like, it felt wooden and forced at first. But after doing it for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it felt very natural. It felt very normal. It felt organic. It didn't feel boring anymore. It felt life-giving. Now, again, you don't have to do this. This is an example. But you need to do something similar. It needs to have these elements somehow where you're surrendering to God, where you're meeting with Him, where you're living in gratitude, where you're acknowledging Christ, where you're submitting your day to Him, where you're going to His Word, and where you're praying for God to help you be a faithful witness. That needs to be in your devotional life. And when you do this, you will have life with God. And I can't tell you, I mean, Sonia even, like, I was sick for a few weeks and the holidays were crazy. And it's kind of like trying to figure out a way to get back to my regular prayer time in the morning. She said, "You doing your prayer times in the morning?" I said, "Well, I've been missing. Not every day, but I've been missing." She's like, "I can tell. Can you get back to that, please?" I need it. I'm guessing you need it. Maybe you don't have someone to tell you. It's like, you know, someone has to tell you when you've got something in your teeth, right? Or when your breath smells, right? Well, you need someone to tell you, like, hey, you need to get back to the Word. You need to get back to prayer. You need to get back to God because this isn't cutting it, right? And so I believe firmly that if you take this as a model, and if, especially if you're doing nothing now, it will change your life. This will radically change your life. If you're doing something, but it doesn't include some of these things, add them in. Incorporate them. They will still change your life. By the way, and you guys, this is your first time with us. I normally do actually preach a sermon. You know, like this. I don't just every week go like, hey, let's do something together. I'm being really honest. My dad is a pastor. I grew up in the church. I've been preaching and teaching and all. I didn't have all these elements in my prayer time until last year. It just changed my life. I'm not done being changed yet, right? Don't worry. But it's changed my life. And that's why I'm so eager and excited to share it with you. Because this is transformative. So I've shown you this before. This is my notebook. I'm going to email this out today. If you guys want it, let us know. We'll get it to you. I'm going to email this out today because what I do is I print off a bunch of these appreciation log sheets. And then every day, almost every day, I do appreciation. Now, we're going to talk about this later. This is my journaling that I do in addition. But some of these stories are from when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, from last week. And it's just, this is like my log of God's amazing awesomeness in my life, of how good God is to me and how much I have to be grateful for. And you guys are in here. And this church is in here. And my friends are in here and my family's in here. And this is not the first one. My title is Appreciation with Church. Like, I love you, and I get to remember it. Here, I have one in here about a conflict I had, an appreciation log about a conflict I had. Talk about different, here are my feeling words: anger, tension, resentment, embarrassment, shame, guilt, turning to, care, consideration, love, acceptance, connecting. By the way, this isn't about anyone in this room. My body felt tense, but then it resulted in my body feeling relaxed. The things I did, I kept calm. I showed concern even when I was being yelled at. I walked through it with that person. How does God feel about me? Stephen, you're making progress. That felt good. Anything you want me to know, you will get better at this as you grow. I want to remember that because I don't remember, you know, otherwise you're not going to remember it. But you go back through, you share that story with somebody. It's private, so I can't share the story with you, but I've shared it with Sonia. You share that story, it starts to imprint on your brain and helps you live in that place of joy instead of just going there for a moment. You do this over and over, and it retrains your body, your mind, your spirit to live in the joy of Christ, the joy of God. And you begin to experience God speaking to you and working in your life. Now, I know it's late. I know that you've got things to do before a very important football game. If you need to go, I understand. But what we're going to do is our worship team is going to come up. We're going to play one last song just to worship the Lord as we go. And my prayer is that you take this time. You have two options here. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but here's what I'm suggesting. Sing along with us or take time to pray, okay? Whichever one you want to do is fine. I'm going to be singing. We're going to be playing. Sing along with us or take time to pray. But really our prayer is this, that as you come into the presence of God, because of prayer, all right, come boldly to the throne of grace, right? And we're singing about coming before the throne of God, that you take everything you have to him, and then you trust him. And then when you trust him, then you get this joy that comes from being in him. And you're transformed by it. That's what this is all about. Coming to God, giving him everything you have, trusting him, and then walking away with the joy that he gives you. So that's what we're going to do.